Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come and bow before you this morning. We are so grateful that we know that you're intimately acquainted with all of us here, saved and lost alike. You are the one that gives us life and breath. You know the depths of our being. And as we come to you this morning, we would pray, minister to us as you see us. And we ask that you would teach us this morning. Perhaps there are some here who do not know you, and we pray that this hour would be the hour that the Holy Spirit would come and work in the heart. And show the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus. And show the evil of sin. And show the need of salvation. And show the need of new life, the new birth. Lord, I confess, have I done all that I can do in preparation for this sermon? I am an unprofitable servant. I desire to be faithful to you and to your word. We would ask, would you take the truths as they have been prepared from your word and write them on our hearts? And we give all the praise to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know I agree with the writer of that which Brother Kevin read. On one hand, I want you to know I'm glad that we're assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus and that He has given us the heart and the desire and the opportunity to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But another year has gone by. Another January 10th. Another January since 1973. I'm sure that most of you, and I may have those of you that have been born since after 1973, would you get on your feet? Would you stand up? Those of you that have been born since 1973. Yeah, there's some more, yeah. Your birthday is after 1973. All right. You may be seated. Sanctity of Life Sunday. And the reason that I'm wearing black this morning is for the very fact of it ought to be also a day of mourning. When you imagine that a single pregnant Texas woman under the pseudonym of Jane Roe challenged anti-abortion laws by stating that they violated her rights under the Constitution. The 14th Amendment states that no state can deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The Supreme Court had to decide whether a fetus was a person or not. The court upheld Roe's claim that her rights to privacy entitled her to an abortion. Since then, I wonder if we could call it the American Holocaust. I stand here before you with fear and trembling. Before I go any further, I want to say to you, perhaps there are some women here who have had an abortion. I want you to know that it's not the unpardonable sin. And I want to say, if you have not ran into the presence of the Savior, who is the one who came to seek and save that which is lost, you must do it before this day is done. Now I point you to the Savior who is able to save to the uttermost. But yet at the same time that I believe that when we look at 1973, and it was 10 years after 1973 that this Sunday, Sanctity of Life Sunday, came into being, into existence. And it was on January 13 of 1984 that President Ronald Reagan designated January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. That's really a remarkable thing for a president to do that. President Reagan issued the proclamation annually thereafter, designating Sanctity of Life Human Life Day to be the third Sunday in January, which represents the closest Sunday to the original 22nd date. His successor, George H.W. Bush, continued the annual proclamation throughout his presidency. Bush's successor, Bill Clinton, discontinued the practice throughout his 8 years in office. But Bush's son and Clinton's successor, George W. Bush, resumed the proclamation and did so every year of his presidency. And I want you to know that's a remarkable thing for a president to do. Yet at the same time, I want you to know, what have we got? 41 years later, we have, and I'm not sure, 55 to 60 million more or less abortions have been performed of that which life God given life. He who blessed the womb has been aborted and terminated. On one hand, when I look at these numbers and I look at these figures, I want you to know I'm staggered by that. When we look at our nation, then on one hand, that look at us, we're probably a nation that would consider ourselves on top of the heap as we would compare ourselves to the rest of the nations around the globe and the world when it comes to wealth and education and possession and comfort and all of the things that would make comfortable our lives more comfortable, that we would say, look at us. And yet at the same time, there are those that would say that look at us, no doubt this must be God's blessing for us. I wonder if we ought not to consider it as the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against their wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness and indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. How far have we wandered as a nation from righteousness? How far are we and how crooked is our wall? You may say, Pastor, aren't you this morning going to get a little political? I want you to know, absolutely not. Brother Thompson, when I think about 41 years that have passed by, we visited a little bit yesterday over on the phone the day before about this whole thing of sanctity of life and the efforts. When I think about 41 years have gone by and 40 years of talk and rhetoric and political smoke and mirrors. When I think about 41 years of organizations that have profited from. When I think about 41 years, both Republican, Independent, and Democrats, those three different political entities who have, some have said, we are pro-life. Where are we, and have we made any progress at all? As you all stood a little while ago, most of you here this morning are born after, really, I want to say probably 50-50, after 1973. And most of you have been in this environment all of these years. This is all you've ever known. That abortion was part of the discussion. The abortion was all underneath the umbrella of the health and the right of the woman. And that's all you have ever known. And at the same time, when I think about that, where does the fault lie? I want to say those of us who were remain seated, our generation and my parents' generation, how in the world do you contemplate and think that that decision ever was made by 9 Supreme Court justices? And 41 years later, with 55 to 60 million plus abortions have taken place, the American Holocaust. I want you to know I'm not a very wise man. I trust that I'm the man of God. At the same time, as I look at the nation, that I believe that I can honestly and boldly say that this sin of our nation, and I know there are many others, but I also know that this is the sin of this nation, and we ought to be at the place and recognize God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I cannot get away from the fact that you recognize that here are 41 years have passed by, and here we are, and the consequences of it all. Do you think that God has his eyes closed on that? And there is not going to be any consequences concerning this particular sin of this nation. When you hear the word Holocaust, what comes to your mind? I want you to know the word Holocaust used to not be would not ever been connected, have been connected with the German nation, the Third Reich, with Adolf Hitler. But is that not what comes to your mind? When you hear the word Holocaust, is it not right away that you come to World War II and that you come to the place and you make that connection of Adolf Hitler? I know that most of you have seen the documentaries. Some of you have heard the testimonies of the survivors that came out of the concentration camps. I know that some of you perhaps have seen documentary pictures where you have seen the incinerators and the places where there were 6 million people that lost their lives of Jews and all of the other undesirable people that lost their lives from the time of 1933 to 1945. Do you know there were some 300 concentration camps in Germany and the other countries around Germany? 300. And you want to say, how in the world did Germany ever get to that particular place of 1933 to 1945, where they had slaughtered 6 million plus people. I want you to know I love my heritage. I love where I was raised up, and we have some others here who have German heritage. Guten Morgen, wir sind froh, dass ihr hier seid. We're glad of that, and we're rich of that, and yet at the same time, I know there are times that when you think about German people and you think about the German race, they're always acknowledged for the fact they're intelligent people, they're very precise people, they're people who are clean, they have ordered their lives, they're very disciplined people, they're smart people, all of those kind of things. And how in the world do you think that you get to the place, and particularly when you think about the history of Germany, the place where the reformer, you see, nailed the theses to the church in Wittenberg, there in that day and age where there was a great revival and the spiritual awakening of the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And yet you have places like Dachau and Auschwitz and the other places. And then you have those who were Christians and believers. And you've heard of those as Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one, a Lutheran pastor who was actually at times speaking out, who eventually lost his life in a concentration camp. And when you begin to evaluate, you look at the pictures and those things that are forever burned in your mind. When you see those bodies that are stacked up, you see, like cordwood and firewood, and when you see these pits that were filled up with thousands of bodies, when you see those that were clinging to fences, you see, with nothing but skin and bones on their bodies, you say, how in the world is it possible for a nation that has a rich history of Christianity, that in every community there is a church building? On Sundays, the church bells would ring and invite people to church. How is it possible for a nation to be so degraded, you see, and to have a Holocaust and taking that and burning, you see, these, quote, undesirable people? And when the ears of those worshiping on Sunday, as they would hear the screaming and the crying of those of nearby concentration camp, that, Mama, do you hear them cry? And Mama would say, sing a little louder, sing a little louder. How is that possible to end up here, where in every community there are the effects of, supposed to be the effects of Christianity? I want you to know that didn't happen overnight. That didn't happen. It just didn't begin in 1933. I want you to know it began much, much earlier before then. And I believe we as a nation are following a similar path. That when I look at the nation where I came from, the nation that I have such vital and important connections even to this day, the nation that will be in a couple of months to preach the gospel, that I want you to know that those folks are not any different than what we are. In their mind, it began many, many years before, as there were those that would say, we're going to provide for you the bread and the butter. We're going to give you all of the promises. Every home will be blessed. Every person will be affected by, with all of the physical needs. And I want you to know the rhetoric, all of that which these folks heard was listened to, and the people literally bought into the fact that here we are promised. We are promised all of these things, that we're going to close our ears and our eyes to those that have the Word of God and righteousness. And with all of it, these folks were just absolutely swept off their feet And then when you begin to listen and look at the commentaries and the documentaries, I want you to know sometimes I look at the documentaries. I don't know whether you all ever have or not. And you're just overwhelmed. You say, how? How are here a people who are in a period of 25 and 30 years literally sell their soul to a political leadership that is able to so put them underneath their thumbs in order for them to have the promises of we'll have bread and butter in our cabinets. We have all of these things at our fingertips. Let's not worry about what happened to so-and-so. And where are these trains going with all of these thousands of people? What is that stench in our community? What's happened to all of these people? No questions were asked. As long as I have bread in my belly with butter on it and everything is fine and hunky-dory. And with all of that, their eyes were blinded. I want to say to you that when I look at January of 1973, I wanted to say, where is the army of Christians that when that was passed, where were the armies of Christians to say that we are marching to the Supreme Court? And we will not be moved until this decision is reversed. And now I want you to know we're 41 years later, we're saying, will it ever change? Will it ever be reversed? Where are these millions of people, you see, who claim to know the Lord Jesus? I want you to know that abortion is literally a symptom of the disease and the spiritual poverty that we have in our nation. It is a symptom of where we are as a nation spiritually. It is the American Holocaust. How in the world do we find ourselves here? This nation, which had such an influence by so many of the founding fathers with biblical convictions. This is seen all over the place. Go to Washington, D.C. And how far have we wandered and drifted from those biblical principles that are so plain? The biblical principle. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female, He created them. And then when you think about it, that the Ten Commandments are all over the Supreme Court. Exodus 20 verse 13 says, thou shalt not kill. What in the world is he talking about? Killing is the taking of the life that God has given. The life of a human being is very plain and clear. Life begins at conception. And that which the woman carries is a human being and is a person. The question that I have where we are today, 2014, what has happened? How did we get here? Look how far we have drifted. Listen to the arguments. When you listen to it on the news and when you listen to it, it is just like removing a gallbladder. We make four little incisions and we have that out. It is just like in the same language that we're talking about abortion, a woman is expecting a baby. Well, what are you going to do? Have you ever heard of that kind of a question? What are you going to do? It's like removing a wisdom tooth. It is like discussing the woman's right to have a facelift. And the arguments that we have, and I want you to know, folks, those of you that have been born since 1973, this is the rhetoric that you have listened to all of your life. A woman has a right to control her own body. I've got news for you. A woman's expecting. It's not her body. There's another body in there. And I want you to know that there is. We're talking about two people. This is very kind of ironic. When you take a man who kills a woman who's expecting the baby, they are charged with double murder. I want to say, can we be on the same page? You see, the woman's right to reproductive freedom, some said. She has right to access to family planning. Listen to this nonsense. The woman's body, the woman's right over reproductive itself, woman's health, reproductive choices. And the language goes on and on and on and on. And in the same time, these abortion clinics are being funded with our tax money. How did we get there? I mean, how did we get there? I believe the text that I read this morning, verse 18, says, where there is no vision. Where there is no vision. I know oftentimes we hear that verse of Scripture that where there are no dreams, people will perish. But in the context of this chapter, when you look at the beginning, first 15, 16 verses, it deals with those that are in authority. For instance, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. When there is no revelation, when there is no vision, when there is not a clear declaration of the Word of God. There are a couple of other translations that says where there is no revelation, where there is no prophecy. In the German, it's very interesting to me. And we have some German people there where it says, wo keine Weissagung ist. Where there is, in a sense, no prophecy. How did we get there? I want you to know that when you think about what has happened to us in our nation, where is the true declaration of the Word of God in a nation that will come from the pulpits, you see, that will declare to a people, here is what God says. God is saying, thus saith the Lord. What do you think is going to happen to us if someone would come through here next week and say, let's gather up our Bibles. You have to turn them in. And then the next order would be, I want you to stop teaching your children the Bible. And all of the Bibles will be removed and everything will be removed. What do you think the effects were going to be if all the Word of God is being removed from a society when it comes to families and church, when it comes to us as individuals? What would happen when you remove the truths of the Scriptures from a society where there is no vision? What do you think is going to happen? Second thing that our passage tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I want you to know, on one hand, as I already mentioned before, you talk about us as a prosperous with everything at our fingertips. But where are we spiritually as a people and as a nation? Isaiah says, therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. They've gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Hosea tells us, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will also forget thy children. Look where we are as a nation. And look at us where we are as a nation. It's like Isaiah says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Look what's happening to us as a nation. Let's just be honest. Honestly, folks. Look what's happening to us. You're right. Sanctity of life. Can you imagine that? And we were the other night, I had two of my grandsons at the house. And we were looking at some, it was early in the evening. We like to watch basketball and that kind of stuff. There was nothing going on sports-wise. And I'm going down through the channels. And Riley says, oh, there is The Help. That's a good movie, Riley said. That's a good movie. It's called The Help. So we clicked on it. And we start watching it. And I want you to know that when the movie came to the commercial time, I could not even hardly bear to look at the commercial for the very fact that which was portrayed, a program to follow, was absolutely evil and really a reflection of what our society is being fed. And I want you to know Hollywood dishes that out. It's not Hollywood making it us. The people are listening to it. And it used words such as lust and sex and violence and death and brutal and all of that in these clips in the commercials. And then I'm wondering, where are you? And where are we as a nation? 3 years ago, I had three of my grandsons, and we were doing homeschooling. And I'm teaching them computer XP and the Word and Excel and PowerPoint. And I said to these three boys, boys, well, you're going to have to get an email address and so we can communicate back and forth. And so we got on Google. And you can get Gmail, and we found out that one of the grandsons wasn't old enough to have Gmail, but the other two were old enough to have that. And so we clicked on the application form that it had, and here are my three grandsons. And in that application form it said, male, female, and other. Are you laughing? How do I explain the other? My youngest grandson, he looks at me and he said, Papa, what is the other? Where there is no prophecy, where there is no clear declaration of God's Word, where there is no voice and vision from the Word of God, the people will perish. And then you see nowadays, when you think about what's going on in our nation, that all around us we're constantly confronted with the fact that here are people living together outside of marriage. And you know what we're saying? It's no big deal. They're just sinners. Let's not worry about it. I want you to know 50 years ago, and there are some of you older ones, you could probably confirm that if you lived 50 years ago in a small community, you didn't have that in a small community. There wasn't people would move into community. There wasn't any such thing as houses that would produce. Everybody in the community knows, oh, here's a house, that's a drunk house. Well, here are people who are simply living together. They're not living with each other. And that would not have ever happened. Because of the fact there was at one time the realization that the Lord said to His disciples, you are the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. And that you and I, the Christians, we are responsible, you see, for our society. We have a responsibility to our society to be the salt in a putrefying society, that He's saying, now you sprinkle salt into these areas, in order that there would not be the decay and there would be the preserving of society. I want you to know I tremble in my boots. And I know I'm not politically correct. And someone says, Pastor, you keep on talking that way. Is they're going to incarcerate you and put you in jail because you see you're not being politically correct, or you're not treating all men, all equally, and they're going to throw me in the jail. I want to just simply say, open the door to the jail. That's where I'm going to go, because I cannot but speak and address these things. Where there is no vision, people will perish. Young people, children, listen to me. All of you here, there is no other. There is male and female. God created them in His own likeness. And He said, it is not good for a man to live alone. I will create him a helpmeet, that one is suitable for him. And He has made it plain in the Scriptures that the marriage bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Did you all hear that the other day? I think it was on the 14th of this month. The Associated Press tells us Oklahoma City, within the past month, federal judges in Oklahoma and Utah have ruled that states and their voters cannot bar same-sex couples from getting married. As battles over gay marriage rights move through the courts across the country, you say, what has that got to do with it? It's got everything to do with everything. Then the other day, a U.S. district judge ruled, a federal judge ruled Tuesday, that an Oklahoma law limiting marriage to heterosexual couples violates the U.S. Constitution, giving yet another victory to the same-sex marriage supporters. What is that? It's a symptom of where we are. The third thing that we find in this passage, and it's very plain, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. I want to ask you, what do you think is the answer here? Brother Thompson, what do you think the answer is? Change of president? Let me tell you what our president is. And I want you to know, I pray for our president every day. But our president, with his convictions, are a reflection of our nation. I believe God has said, that's what you want, that's what you're going to have. Change of Congress? I want you to know, I am absolutely discouraged when it comes to talking to the politicians about their position on the sanctity of life. Because most of them that you talk to, they say, I'm all for it. Have we not seen that in our own state a couple of years ago? Have we not seen it? That there was to be a vote, you see, in our house, in the state of Oklahoma, on the personhood question. And there was that discussion, and we came this close. Our governor said, if it comes to my desk, I will sign it. The Republican caucus quenched it at the last second. And one of the House of Representative people, they actually had the sergeant of arms carry him out because of protest. Why was this not brought to a vote? I want you to know something. That these people who are representatives, they are a reflection of who we are. Change the Supreme Court. Those are symptoms. And when it's all said and done, folks, I want you to know, can we legislate morality? And the answer is no. But let me tell you what we need to do. And I believe that we ought to, as we are members of this nation, there ought to be in us a heart and an attitude of mourning and grieving to where we are as a people. And that we ought to, as James talks about, you know, that mourn and flee to the Lord. And recognize and realize that here we are as a nation. I want you to know, if this continues a few more years, when I think about the consequences of it all, I want you to know I love Germany. I love my country. Let me go back for just a second. Do you want me to tell you where Germany is spiritually? The land of the reformers. The land of Luther and Melanchthon. The land of where there were thousands of churches that sprang up by the grace of God. The land when you fly into and you see the red, the roofs on these houses in these clean little villages. Do you want me to tell you where Germany is today? Spiritually dead. Maybe 5 or 6% of the German people claim to know the Lord Jesus in a saving way. Consequences. Do you think that where we are as a nation, 41 years later, with 60 million plus the sin of a nation, do you think it has an effect upon us as a nation to where we are spiritually? We need to beg God to visit us. We need to beg God to raise up preachers that will preach the word uncompromisingly, boldly, unashamedly, without the fear of what will men do to me. We need to beseech the throne of grace, and I want to ask you, we need to be praying people. Lord, will you give us revival in your churches? Lord, will you come and give us a spiritual awakening? And if necessary, raise up preachers like Jonah. He didn't want to preach. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. But yet, the Lord, ultimately, He brought him to Nineveh. And what did he do? He preached exactly what the Lord had commanded him to do. And what happened in Nineveh? From the king on down, there was mourning and sackcloth and repentance. I mean, a city of thousands of people came and bowed before the true and the living God. I want to ask you, do you think that we ought to do that as God's people? I want to tell you something, Brother Thompson, and those of you that go out on Fridays to the abortion clinic, and I know week in and week out and week in and week out, and occasionally we hear of abortion clinic closing, and we're praying, Lord, close this abortion mill here in our town. That goes on and on and on and on, but yet the numbers have not changed. Why? There must be a change of heart. Unless there is a change of heart, I don't care. My prayer would be that the Lord reverse Roe versus Wade, but I want you to know the heart is still going to be the same, and people will have abortions, you see, not in a government sanctions place. They'll have an abortion somewhere else. May the Lord enable us to do that. What does that mean to us, a handful of people? I want you to know we're not alone. Kevin and Dee Dee and Nikki and Scott and all of you who have been at the abortion clinic, Perry, all of you at one time been out there, walking around up and down in front of that abortion clinic on Fridays. We're not alone. We're a small, and let me tell you what, if when you think about it, a town of 300,000 people we are in Tulsa, on a Friday morning, if you have a lot of people there, maybe 25. What would be the percentage of 25 people out of 300,000? Where are the representation of other churches? Yeah. At the same time, I want to say to you, we're not alone. You got Rusty Thomas in Texas. You've got those that have for years struggled in Colorado, bringing about the person to the amendment. You've got those that in Mississippi had worked last year. And then you've got Bill and Ruth Dar that are here in Tulsa year in and year out. And yet at the same time, I want us to say, Lord, will you not bring a change of heart about us? And that, Lord, will you not impress us? Listen to what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. I want you to know that's what the Lord wants us to do. And then before I go any further, that when it comes to the politicians, that where we are as a nation to vote people in and out, let me tell you what we need to do. We need to vet them. Check them out. And then we need to be at the place that if they are not, if they do not meet the criteria of the Scriptures, let's not vote them in. And you say, well, I will never win that way. Listen to me. We're going to win if we honor the Lord. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Three more points and then we're done. Sanctity of human life. Where does it start? It starts with you where you are. I want you to know the Lord Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. When you get a chance, and those of you who are not joined to the Lord Jesus in a saving way, I want you to go home and look into the mirror and then you need to say, I have been wonderfully made. And I thank God that I have been made in His image and He's given me life and breath. And I want to say to you, if you dabble with drugs and alcohol, if you dabble with porn or this or that, you're not respecting your own life. At the same time, recognize and realize that I'm a sinner. And the only one that can change my life and give me life the way it ought to be. I want you to know that when I see these, quote, same-sex couples that are standing in front of and they're waiting for to sign a marriage certificate, I want to say to you, you're missing the mark. Men and husbands, do you know what it is to love your wife? And do you know what it is to have a wife love you? Do you know what it is to, if the Lord blesses the womb, to have a child in you and that you are nourishing and bringing it along and you have an understanding of what God has for you and all of that? Do you know what that is? You're exchanging yourself for the devil's lie. Second best. I wonder when there ain't no best. And so I want to say to you, it starts with us. And then secondly, that the way we view others. Yellow, red, and black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He loves the children with those kind of eyes. He loves them if they're whether yellow, black, or red, and white. He loves Russians and He loves Germans. He loves Bulgarian. He loves Afghanistan people. The Lord sent His Son into the world to save the world, that the world through Him might be saved. And it behooves us that we begin to look at people in different lights, that these folks have the life that's been given to them by God. And our intent is what? Is to preach and proclaim the Savior to them. And then thirdly, that we would take those that are in government leadership and that we remind them and that those of us who have an opportunity to open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. O Lord, be merciful to us. Wouldn't it be wonderful that we would say next year, come January, that we don't have a Sanctity of Life Sunday and gone. That we would say, Lord, will you not give us a visitation from on high? And I want you to know something. When the Lord arrests the heart, when He changes the heart, when conversion comes home and He changes the nature, I want you to know there is going to be new life and a new direction. Is that not what we want for our nation? You know, with all of the ills that we have, we still have the privileges that we can get every Sunday, and I get behind that pulpit. There ain't nobody that said you can preach this or this or that. I want nobody that we can say we have assembled ourselves, and then as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And how can we do that? Let's proclaim and preach the Savior, the Creator, who's created us in His own image. May He enable us to look for those who are unable to help themselves, the unborn, the elderly, all of those that cannot help themselves. Lord, help us to do that. Let's pray.